Hello, thank you all for having me. One quick comment about John's introduction of me earlier. My husband still introduces me to people saying, meet my wife, she used to work for the NRA. I think he may not have gotten over the fact that I left. But a quick disclaimer, I usually talk about these topics with undergraduates and recent college graduates who are entering sort of the political sphere for the first time. So I'm going to leave the heavy-hitting academic defense of fusionism to these guys, and hopefully I can help share with you guys some of the conversation that's going on the ground with the young adults and people in my generation that I've been talking to about these issues for the last few years. Fusionism is an interesting field that I sort of find myself somewhat by accident. I'm not a political theorist. I'm not a historian. I work in marketing and communications. I'm here simply as the result of my personal journey to reconcile my Christian faith with my political affinity with libertarianism. What I tell young people as sort of the key to finding your calling or finding your vocation, which is kind of a bold thing to tell anyone, but it's the intersection between what you're interested in and what you're good at. So I'm interested in free market economics, and I'm good at marketing and communications. So I've spent a fair amount of my career doing marketing and communications for free market and other sort of pro-freedom groups. And at a free market think tank that I worked at a few years ago, I was sort of the token Christian in the office. I think there might have been a few more, but they weren't quite as vocal as me. And I was quite surprised one day when an agnostic coworker of mine attempted to explain to me that I could not be both religious and libertarian. And his argument went something like this, that free individuals will tend to pursue their rational self-interest is a core tenet of libertarianism. And if a society is going to outperform statism, reason and logic must be rewarded and valued. By instructing people to believe in ideas without empirical or logical basis, religion detracts from rational behavior in ways that are destructive to freedom. I thought this was ridiculous. In my experience, as I grew in my understanding of the Christian faith, I was becoming increasingly more libertarian. So I thought that there were these obvious connections that my one coworker here was sort of an outlier and just didn't see them. So as I was working through these ideas, mainly in my column I was writing for the American Enterprise Institute's Project on Values and Capitalism, I began interacting with another Christian writer from the Acton Institute who responded with his take on Christian libertarians. He argued that there were, in fact, five types of Christian libertarians. Type number five was those who were either not all that Christian or not all that libertarian. Type number four was Christians who were really conservatives but didn't like the label conservative. Type number three was those for whom Christian was only a weak modifier. Those who just sort of mash the two words together and think that since they can hold both views without their heads exploding, they must be true. And type number one are those who have developed a consistent philosophy within which libertarianism and Christianity are fully compatible. Obviously, type number one is what Christian libertarians would say they have accomplished, but he was quick to note that I'm not sure I've ever met a type one, and I don't think it's possible. So I was quickly realizing that those who would consider themselves a Christian libertarian were going to be challenged by both of those associations. And when I asked people, what does that make me then if I'm a Christian and I think I'm a libertarian based on what I've read about what libertarianism is, what does that make me? What camp do I fall into? And they said, you're a fusionist. So then I went to figure out what fusionism was. And I think the gist of that was just that I was more libertarian than most conservatives felt comfortable accepting, and I was religious, and therefore libertarians thought I couldn't be libertarian. So I knew it wasn't enough for me to assume that these connections were obvious anymore, and I had to do some deep thinking about how exactly my faith interacted with my political philosophy. To make another quick disclaimer, I'm going to give a short synopsis of where I've landed on this topic right now. I realize not everyone here might consider themselves a Christian. I'm coming at this from a Christian perspective, but I've heard enough about faith and values and from the conversations the last few days that I think most of you are either comfortable and conversant enough with Christianity that you can give me enough grace for a few minutes while I talk through these issues. But I think that this is so important, not just to reconcile faith and free markets for those like myself who are Christians, but I think it's vitally important for those who are not Christians, because people like my agnostic former coworker would tell you that, you know, conservatism is just the coercive arm of the Christian faith. And that's why they don't think that you can be both a Christian and a libertarian. So I think being able to reconcile the two is important for those people as well, even if they don't consider themselves a Christian, to know that Christians can be pro-freedom and can be profoundly motivated by freedom and the good that freedom can do in society. So starting off, where I am today in reconciling the Christian faith and free markets, libertarianism. As Christians, we know that every one of us is sinful, that we have fallen short of the glory of God, that we're in need of salvation, and we are utterly unable to save ourselves. The message of the gospel, the good news of Christianity, is that salvation from our sins is offered through Christ, and that salvation is voluntary and it is individual. This is the core message of Christianity. It's what we want everyone to know. Christianity starts with the individual, celebrates the individual's inherent dignity and opportunity for salvation, and then grows outwardly into community and kingdom. This brings to bear another relevant aspect of human nature, which is that we're made in the image of God. While imperfectly, we can emulate God in many beneficial ways. God created everything out of nothing, and we can create value out of economic scarcity. God redeems us from our sins, and we can work towards redeeming others from poverty and ignorance and disease. God respects our freedom, even to reject him, and we can respect the freedom of others. This also reinforces that Christianity is about voluntary action, because it is through voluntary social engagement by which we develop virtue and that we can emulate our Creator. The Apostle Paul said repeatedly that though I am free and I belong to no one, I made myself a slave to everyone. And you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. When you understand human nature as sinful, but humans as made in the image of God, you can value principles such as individual choice and voluntary action. You begin to develop a worldview that recognizes these multiple spheres of authority: God, the individual, the church, the community, the family, a few others, maybe over here in a really small sphere, the government. There's a lot to this idea, but the main point is that each of these spheres of authority have various rights and responsibilities, and balancing them appropriately is the key to having a rightly ordered life. This worldview is what some would refer to as conservative, because as individuals, we have rights and responsibilities to society. The church has rights and responsibilities, and it's these responsibilities that can make some libertarians uncomfortable. This morning, Dr. Ottson used the term libertarian paternalism to describe sort of Adam Smith's perspective on this issue, which I think is probably much more academic than I was able to arrive at, but I think it's relatively the same concept. So this is what I see as the key to libertarian and conservative fusionism. If we understand conservatism as something bigger than just a political philosophy, as a worldview that talks about these spheres of authority and these spheres of rights and responsibilities, then it's completely compatible with libertarianism as understood as a political philosophy addressing the sphere of government within this bigger worldview. It's in the same manner that maybe libertarianism could fit into a worldview of objectivism or something else. My organization, the Institute for Faith, Work, and Economics, is neither conservative nor libertarian. We're a Christian research organization committed to promoting biblical and economic principles. Our three core values are freedom, fulfillment, and flourishing. We're neither conservative or libertarian, but you can imagine that this message attracts a mix of both conservatives and libertarians. So we spend a lot of time thinking about what do these words mean, freedom, fulfillment, and flourishing. We recently released a video on the topic of freedom, and there's going to be some forthcoming ones about fulfillment and flourishing, and I was hoping to show the video, but learned a few weeks ago that there is not video capability here. So I'm going to read you a little quote from it, but I would love to show you the video, so if anyone is interested, come let me know. Give me your email or your card or something, and I can send it to you. But the video about freedom follows a small businessman who says this: "I used to think that the only work God really cared about was done by pastors or missionaries. So when I was dreaming of owning my own business, there was always something in me wondering if that was really a worthy goal. It's through my work, though, that I've come to see things differently. God made each person unique. We have the freedom to be who he created us to be and to work doing what he created us to do. It's only when we do what he created us for that we fully know freedom. Freedom to have ideas, to make choices, to create. Freedom to earn our own way, to build a business. Freedom to use the gifts that God gave us to enrich the lives of others. That's what it's really all about. I think we're the most free when we are working doing exactly what God had in mind for each of us." End quote. I find this to be a powerful and moving way to think about freedom. And while this may not be the social schema that's in your minds when you think about freedom, all of us likely think about a society that would celebrate these things as being a free society that we all hope for, one that allows individuals to create, to make choices, to earn your own way, to build a business. I hope that as we talk about fusionism and the way forward and what does fusionism look like in the future, that we can realize that our worldviews are always going to be a little bit different, that our social schemas will be unique to us, and that what we mean by certain terms might vary. My motivations in this journey have been religious, and yours may not be, but the society that we're aiming for is very likely the same. If I could say anything back to the agnostic coworker from the beginning of the conversation, it would be that even if non-religious libertarians make no room for God in their worldview, they can, and we can, and should, make room for the religious and conservative in the camp of freedom. Thank you.